Hey, this is Daniel. We are sort of sliding in to your DMs podcast edition to bring you a kind of an interesting supplementary episode to the one we released last week. So last week we talked to Sasha Segan all about the state of 5G. Well, Qualcomm was kind enough to provide one of its very knowledgeable product marketers, Ignacio Contreras, to talk about the new X65 modem RF system. So the next 30 minutes or so is going to be our conversation, our being me and Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Daniel. I'm rolling into your DMs, not yeah, sliding.
You do that every day, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I love. And this is a really nice, it was a very dense conversation because anything RF related is dense, no pun intended. We get into a lot of what the X65 brings to the table, what the new antenna systems allow for in terms of phones and fixed wireless, and what this release 16, 5G's kind of next venture into completely crazy and awesome use cases, is going to bring in the next few years. Release 16 is this really ambitious set of standards around what 5G will be able to do next. And I don't want to spoil anything, but if you're into self-driving cars, if you're into private networks, if you're into all the stuff that you heard about in 2015, 2016, when the early days of 5G were just kind of like coming into a spark, this is what will actually bring those experiences, release 16. And for Qualcomm, I don't know about you, Jerry, but this is really exciting, not because it's just going to make my phone faster, even though that will happen, but because it will actually bring things like millimeter wave into the home in a way that is practical.
Right.
And that's something I'm super excited about.
Yeah, the things we first heard about that 5G can do when phones were just an afterthought, now we're finally starting to see how that's going to work. And Qualcomm has a pretty big head start here.
Yeah, we also brought that up too. And Ignacio was very diplomatic in how he answered the question of competitors, because Qualcomm is a very dominant company, especially in the U.S., especially around millimeter wave. But there are some competitors encroaching on that space. So
yep.
It was a really interesting discussion. Anyway, stay tuned for that. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Qualcomm, for your time here. And here is our interview with Ignacio Contreras of Qualcomm.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, Jerry. This is Ignacio Contreras. I'm Senior Director of Product Marketing for 5G at Qualcomm. I've been in the company for about 10 years or so. So I've been through the transition to 4G and to 5G, and I'm in this position even before 5G got commercialized. So I've been on the journey of bringing 5G to the world, and I was one of the first to test 5G and throughout the evolution and what's coming next in the next few years.
Amazing. All right. Well, it's great to have you here. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about today. So maybe we can get through it all in 20 or 25 minutes, but I don't know. Let's do our best. So let's jump right in. Big announcement happening today. The Snapdragon X65 RF system, modem RF system, it's called. Qualcomm saying it's the world's first 10 gigabit 5G modem RF system. That's a mouthful. Talk us through what that means, what the implications are for devices, not just phones. There's a lot about non-phones in this press release, which I find really interesting, right? About fixed wireless, about mobility, but not necessarily mobility that fits in your pocket. So maybe talk about some of the implications around what this new RF system brings to future products with Qualcomm hardware in it.
So what we are announcing, it's probably our largest leap in terms of product evolution for 5G since the introduction of our 5G, our first 5G modem RF system back in 2016. So there are many vectors and many innovations to unpack here. So we'll be able to discuss some of those. But the best way you can think about this is that, as you said, this is not just a modem, right? It is a modem RF system. So we are upgrading many of the parts that go between the processor, right, or the baseband in your phone up to the antenna to be able to provide leaps in 5G across several dimensions. Top line, yes, you can hear like at 10 gigabits per second. So this is the speed. This is larger than the speeds that you can get from fiber today on a residential setting. That's the kind of peak speeds that you will be able to get with Snapdragon X65, this new modem RF system, but also introduces upgradable capabilities to be able to adopt new major features down the road. This is the first modem RF system that supports some of the first capabilities of what's called Release 16 5G, which is basically a way to say the latest specifications for 5G that bring the benefits of this wireless technology, not just for phones, but also for many other industries, fixed wireless access, industrial IoT, private 5G networks, PCs, and so on. And it also introduces, as I said, it's just not just the modem, but also the RF systems. On the RF, it's introduced a number of new innovations. Introduced what's called the new envelope tracker, which is a way to very granularly manage the power that it sends through the antenna, so nothing is wasted. And also introduces AI on the antenna tuner system, which is basically a more intelligent way to configure and tune your antenna so you get the better coverage, the better performance, and the more power efficiency at any time. And as you said, this is not just built for phones. Yes, it definitely will see premium phones using this technology, but with this wide array of capabilities, it's also made to support other applications like XR, VR, and AR applications in the future, for instance, PCs, 5G PCs that we'll see in the market, industrial IoT applications when you use 5G in a manufacturing facility, for instance, and fixed wireless access, which is a way to use the 5G infrastructure to provide internet access to homes and businesses an alternative way and sometimes more cost-effective way than the traditional fiber and cable solutions. So again, you can see this is why we talk about our major leap in 5G product technology, because we're bringing with this Snapdragon X65 so many new features and so many new capabilities that's made not just for phones, but to help all these other areas that will benefit in the future from 5G technology.
So we'll come back to the non-phone stuff a little bit later, but I want to try to place this in real world implications for some of our listeners, because as much as people understand the Snapdragon platforms as they're announced every December, you know, the Snapdragon 865, the Snapdragon 888, I think there's a pretty, you know, if you follow tech, you kind of understand that a new platform has upgrades to CPU and GPU performance. It has upgrades to the image signal processor. This year, you had three ISPs rather than two. The Hexagon DSP gets upgraded, and that lets you do so many more millions of, you know, processes per second in terms of artificial intelligence and machine learning. I would like to try to place the X65 next to the X60, which is brand new today for most people. Most people still don't have a phone that runs the X60 modem and RF system because it debuted with the Snapdragon 888. Try to give us a little bit of a comparison. How is the X65 RF system better, more efficient? What will it bring to end users who buy a new Samsung or Xiaomi phone in early 2022? When devices with the X65 debut?
Well, the Snapdragon X65 is the first one to introduce 10 gigabits per second peak speeds capabilities, right? And sometimes it's very hard to imagine like that amount of speed, right? This is like connecting fiber directly into your phone. And also the question, okay, how do we use all that speed, right? Which application can I run on my phone that use that speed? But it's not just about speeds. When you talk about 10 gigabits per second, it's overall also network capacity. And I'll give you two examples of how that's beneficial when you're just a user, right, overall with your phone. First of all, when you have more capacity, right, you can have a more reliable connectivity when you are in crowded, right, environments that using a lot of people using the network in the same place at the same time. Of course, today, with the pandemic, it's still hard to envision those scenarios. Those who have asked here in the United States at least got a glimpse of that yesterday or the last Sunday with the Super Bowl. But we all are familiar with those scenarios in which you're on a trade show, you are in a concert, you are in a stadium, and simply you cannot get connectivity and can be very frustrating, particularly now that more and more people is sharing these experiences with friends and family over the phone. That's something that can be solved with more capacity, and that's something that can be addressed with 10 gigabits per second. And the other aspect is that it's not just about the download speeds, right? More and more people is using their phone and their devices to upload, right? And we're all very familiar now with the pandemic again, how the use of video conferencing becomes more and more important, and people want to stream their lives, want to stream their best moments. And in that case, you need to, again, send information from the phone or from the device to the network. And many times that's, today, it's that a bottleneck, right, on the networks. Even you can download your applications and your data very smoothly when you're trying to transmit, when you try to, again, send video or play a multiplayer game. That's where you see a bottleneck in the network. And that's when you have these capabilities like 10 gigabits per second. You can overall improve your performance and have a decent and a good experience, right? You don't need that 10 gigabits per second at one point in time. But the more people is using the network, you need that those capabilities to be able to have simultaneous connectivity for many people and have, again, a connectivity that is sufficient in all these kind of environments. And of course, the Snapdragon X65 modem RF system also introducing new capabilities in terms of power saving. So it's more power efficient. The RF front end incorporates new, again, the use of AI. So you can also better tune your antenna to any conditions. And at the end, all of those things combined translate in three things. You get better performance, either more speeds, even if you need 10 gigabits per second, you get the speed that you need, right, at any time, including these challenging environments. You get better coverage as well, because many times the coverage does not depend on the signal traveling from the tower to your phone. The limitation is many times the signal going from your phone back to the base station. So the more the better volume, the better RF system you have, you can increase your coverage. And at the end, power efficiency. We are using more advanced technology that, of course, requires the more use of energy. And the way to solve that is with some, again, tricks from the modem to the antenna, you can achieve. So you can achieve that all day battery life that we all expect from our devices. So that's why I think it's so important, right? It's such a major leap, the Snapdragon X65, because it's not just one innovation in 10 gigabits per second or upgradable capabilities or using AI on the RF front end. Is the combination of all these things that at the end, as a user, give you better speeds, better coverage, and all day battery life.
So we hear about this 10 gigabit per second peak. The X60 supported 7.5 gigabits peak. I think the brass tacks of a lot of how people experience 5G today is that you hear millimeter wave, sub-6, carrier aggregation, right? Those are the three terms that people sort of glom onto. There's so much more to it, but those are the three that then there's FDD and TDD, but that's kind of that's like second level.
Yes.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit to what improvements are in this X65 modem RF system that allow us to get to 10 gigabits, right? We're talking improvements in, wider channels, more carrier aggregation options, now supports the N259 spectrum as well, which is a new channel. What else can people expect? Like, how does the X65 reach those theoretical speeds? And we, you know, obviously they are theoretical. It's very unlikely we're going to hit 10 gigabits, but having more headroom is obviously better for anybody, even if, you know, especially if it's at the same or lower use, power use as before.
So there are a number of innovations and new technologies that play in the Snapdragon X65 to reach, again, to rise the ceiling, as you say, to about 10 gigabits per second on peak speeds. One thing, as you mentioned, is the use of larger bandwidth, right? The prior generation of modem RF system from Qualcomm used up to 8 megahertz of bandwidth, right? Basically, how wide are your lanes, right, in your highway to be able to transport more data. So we are increasing that bandwidth, right, by 25%. So we're going to from 800 to 1,000 megahertz of bandwidth on all the lanes that we are packing in this, again, virtual highway over the air. So that's something that helps to increase the speeds overall. But not every carrier will have maybe 1,000 megahertz of spectrum available on millimeter wave. That's where a carrier aggregation comes into play that allows the phone to be able to use multiple frequencies put them together virtually to be able to send more data over the air. And one key innovation of the Snapdragon X65 is that it will be able to combine both millimeter wave and sub-6 spectrum. So under the operator, you will be able to use both assets, right? Your part of millimeter wave spectrum and your sub-6 spectrum, and again, be able to combine those spectrum assets to be able to have more capacity and more speeds.
That's not possible today on an X60, or it's just not possible in as many configurations?
No, in the X60, it's capable as well. The hardware is capable of doing that. But where we've seen that the infrastructure side is taking a bit more time to enable that capability. So probably you will see first with Snapdragon X65-based devices, the first time that we will see at the user level that aggregation of millimeter wave and sub-6 capabilities.
I think what impresses me the most is that your new antenna module, it pushes and higher transmit power, but uses less battery power. Can you explain? I mean, is that just engineering, or is that part of the Release 16 standards, or how did you manage that? That's incredible.
No, that's engineering. Well, that does not correspond, at least in the millimeter wave, to any new capabilities on the latest 5G specifications. But the key thing is basically when you are using any wireless system, you have a maximum emission limits. Those that are placed by regulators to protect, again, safety and overall. But with the new millimeter wave antenna modules, it has a more granular way, right, to manage the peak power that you can use. So overall, while you're still meeting regulations, you can increase the average power that's being used by the phone to transmit information back to the cell tower. And again, as I mentioned before, coverage many times relies more on how effectively you can send data from your device back to the network, rather than when many times we think the other way around. Oh, the cell tower is not able to get me, and that's for I'm not getting a connection. But most of the time, or many times, it's not the cellular gets to you, but you don't get to the network. So as we're able to use the power more intelligently in the millimeter wave modules, we're able to extend the range, transmit to more distance, and therefore effectively increase the range of the overall network. And we're also adding the support for this new 41 gigahertz band. Basically, it's Snapdragon X65 supports all the millimeter wave bands that are envisioned. First ones with 41 gigahertz, we might see them in Japan. But at the end, whether you're using millimeter wave or any carrier, in the United States, in Japan, in China, later on in Europe, we have the solution that will be able to address all of them. And all of that in the same tiny footprint that we use in our millimeter wave modules today that enables kind of having very sleek and a good looking phones overall.
Okay, so faster phones, you know, more transmit power without without affecting battery life, more ways to combine signals into higher speeds, et cetera. So it feels like, to some extent, the phone conversation is an evolutionary one, right? What I'd like to talk about is where the X65 improves other forms of 5G. This, I want to talk about Release 16 a little bit later on, because that is mind-blowingly cool. It's very, there's some really ambitious stuff in Release 16. It was just approved like 6 months ago. It's a lot of it is like pie in the sky stuff that we haven't even dreamed about. But I want to talk about some of the things that Qualcomm is highlighting here, specifically with its new fixed wireless access platform, the way that both sub-6 and millimeter wave are getting kind of a boost in the home. And a lot of Qualcomm's partners are talking about fixed wireless access, 5G fixed wireless, and millimeter wave in particular as a way to augment fiber to the home or replace it entirely in regions where there just isn't any infrastructure. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about what the X65 brings in terms of fixed wireless access and larger products that have 5G modems in them, and how it might impact how we pay for internet or experience connectivity that isn't necessarily in our phones.
There's a lot of excitement in the mobile industry about fixed wireless access, which again is a way to use the 5G infrastructure to provide not connectivity, not internet connectivity to your phone, but to your home or a small business overall. In fact, the Global Semiconductor Association, which tracks these 5G deployments, they state that from the north of 100 of 5G networks that are commercialized today, about one third of those networks are offering or intended to use to offer fixed wireless access services. So there's a lot of interest in the industry around this topic. And the key thing, of course, how we can provide, again, good coverage and a reliable connectivity when you're not using wires, when you're using basically all the, airways over the air. There are two key innovations that Snapdragon X65 brings to be able to enable that business model, and at the end, that ability just to connect more homes to the 5G network. One is extended range millimeter wave. We talk about a little bit about that on the phone, but this goes on asteroids when we talk about fixed wireless access. Since you are in a what's called the CPE, the customer premise equipment, basically the router that you put in your home that connects your local network to the 5G network, so you can get 5G connectivity, you don't have the limitations that you have in terms of space or battery that you have in your phone. That allows us in millimeter wave to put more antennas there, use more power, and with that, be able to reach farther distance with your CPE, far more compared to what you get in your phone, and effectively increase the coverage of the overall network and simplify the way that your home can connect to the internet. We have tested these extended range millimeter wave capabilities in a number of areas in the world, and we have reached sometimes 5, 6.5, north of 7 kilometers, right? We're talking about more than 4 miles, where you can get a gigabit speed 5G connectivity. So that changes absolutely the model, right? From how you can build a network at the end that will serve these homes or these small businesses overall.
And we're talking line of sight here, or with multipath and obstacles and beamforming, or is that an ideal scenario here, like beautiful San Diego day, straight out, or you know, like a typical West Virginia snowy day where you know you can't see anything in front of you. Like, what are we talking about for normal people?
Yes. Well, when you talk about 4 miles, right? That's line of sight or near of sight. It's a fairly open environment, but that's not the way that the network will be built, right? Most times the base station will be built to serve people around maybe 1 mile around. And that's where that capability allows us to go, again, around corners and use the reflections to be able to achieve gigabit speeds or hundreds of megabits per second with non-line of sight kind of environments. And that has been tested as well. And be able, so when you talk about 7 kilometers, right, peak, that means that on a normal scenario, basically you are maybe 1 mile or so from the millimeter wave antenna, you get a gigabit speed connectivity.
Which is about seven times a bigger distance than it is now. So that's a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, this is very, very different. The model, when we talk about millimeter wave for fixed wireless access compared to the phone. So if you are taking your phone experiences and extrapolating that to what will be your fixed wireless experience, that probably be wrong because it's, again, there are several nuances that we're discussing here on the technology that makes, again, that millimeter wave connectivity much more not just reliable, but also far-reaching in terms of coverage. But it's not, the innovations don't stop with millimeter wave. The Snapdragon X65 also features, like for fixed wireless access, the capability to receive what's called 8 receive antennas, which is basically you're using 8 streams, 8 antennas to be able to receive the signal from the base station. And when you have more antennas, it's like you have more ears, right? It's like you have maybe on your smart speaker, more microphones. The more microphones you have, you can better hear, right, one signal from one particular direction. That's with sound, that also with RF airwaves. And the more antennas we can have for the receiving end on the CPE, on this router that sits in your home, basically you can hear better on one particular direction and move that direction. And therefore we can, at the end, extend the coverage of fixed wireless access. So all these solutions at the end, both millimeter wave and sub-6, are aimed to be able to improve the performance. Performance meaning the coverage, how far and you can be from the base station to be able to have a reliable and decent hundreds of megabits per second or gigabits per second connectivity to the cell tower. And at the end, how you facilitate this business model so you can have a decent alternative to fiber or to cable for those areas that are already served by those technologies, but also think about rural areas in which it's not economical, right, to deploy on main street in a rural town, deploy fiber to every home or deploy cable sometimes to every home. In these cases, we think that fixed wireless access with 5G, both sub-6, but particularly millimeter wave, can make a big, big difference in closing the digital divide.
I know that most people will interact with 5G in the sub-6 gigahertz range when, you know, around the world. So millimeter wave is a big story in the US on one particular carrier. There is some millimeter wave expansion in the US as well. But generally, if you're talking about 5G over the next few years, most people will come into it through sub-6. Can you talk a little bit about the sub-6 improvements in the X65 and how, you know, if I'm just logging onto a, you know, a T-Mobile sub-6 network today, or I get access to a C-band network in 2022, 2023, how this RF system will improve that experience? Because I think that's really where most people will see it.
Yeah. Well, I disagree with that. I think that the end game, and soon we'll see again, that operators need to use all bands available. Again, the capacity of the network and therefore the economics and the experience depends on how much spectrum you can make available. So at the end, most operators or keepers will end up being using low bands, mid bands, millimeter wave, everything that's available. Of course, you will see millimeter wave in more kind of a dense urban areas, venues, in other scenarios. But at the end, we should have all of those available as an operator to be able to provide the best possible experiences. But you're right, sub-6 continues to be important, very important part of the 5G experience. What comes new with the Snapdragon X65 modem system is the ability to manage larger bandwidth. So you can manage up to 300 megahertz of bandwidth on frequencies under sub-6 gigahertz to be able to provide, again, more capacity and more speeds to the network. But more than that, there are very few operators that will have 200, 300 megahertz of a spectrum, contiguous spectrum available. So that's where 5G carrier comes to play, because in that sense, you need to be able to aggregate spectrum on across all configurations, right? And mid bands plus low bands, low bands plus low bands. And each operator, think about all, if you're familiar with the licensing and process that it's used in the United States to allocate the spectrum, it can be a very convoluted scenario, right? Mm-hmm. At the end, how much spectrum, which frequencies each carrier can have. Take that on a global basis, right? Across the globe, many different approaches to spectrum allocation, many different ways that different operators can access a spectrum and how many chunks of the spectrum they have. So it's critical not just to be able to provide large bandwidth, but to aggregate this bandwidth on all the different configurations that you can have around the world. That Snapdragon X65, what's key is that to be able to provide the most comprehensive carrier aggregation capabilities for 5G. And this means that you can aggregate, again, low bands on spectrum, low band plus mid bands, TDD plus FDD. So again, different modes of networks that are deployed around the world, all these combinations. So when you're a manufacturer, you'll be able to provide a phone that, whether the phone goes to the United States or China or Europe or Australia, can take advantage of the different spectrum combinations that are available there, and therefore provide a better experience for the user in terms of not just peak speeds, but also reliable connectivity, particularly when you are far, right? What's called at the edge of the cell, far from the base station. So those are some of the key elements that are present on sub-6, plus this use of the new envelope tracker that, again, manage with more granularity how much power you are using to send kind of RF waves through the antennas, particularly on sub-6, and also the use of AI capability to understand how you're holding your phone and therefore be able to tune the antennas accordingly to get, again, better performance, better coverage, and better power efficiency. All those things are new in Snapdragon X65, and all those things at the end are aimed to provide this better user experience.
That was a very good answer. I appreciate that. I think Qualcomm makes a big deal about its advantages in millimeter wave, and rightly so. It has a lot of patents. It was the first company to roll out support for millimeter wave in its RF systems. That is no longer the case, though. They're not the only one. They're the only game in town. MediaTek last week announced its M80 5G modem, which supports millimeter wave. It's the first of their chips to support it. It supports Release 16 as well. Samsung also has its own baseband modem that now supports millimeter wave. How is Qualcomm feeling about its advantages for millimeter wave? As you say, carriers around the world are going to be diversifying, buying, you know, using as all the spectrum they can. And it's no longer just a U.S. story. And Qualcomm is very dominant in the U.S., but less so in Europe and Asia. And I wonder what the X65 does in terms of maintaining or extending the advantage of millimeter wave performance next to, the competition that is much closer than it was in terms of support, maybe not capabilities, but just outright support of millimeter wave. Qualcomm has quite a bit of competition there now.
Well, I would not qualify how close or far is the competition based on press releases, but definitely we feel very, very comfortable about our position, right? So far, across all the major phones, all the phones that have been launched with millimeter wave capabilities use the Snapdragon modem RF solution. And we have seen announcements from many companies with support for mmWave in the modem for a while. But the modem is not enough, right? You need the full modem and RF system to be able to support mmWave. In fact, I will argue that the RF front end might be the most complex area, right? In the baseband, it's mostly about bandwidth, but in the RF front end, it means that you need to have people to have a digital transceiver, all the RF front end components, amplifiers and filters, and be able to manage all these multiple antennas you have need to have in the phone to be able to steer the beam, all in a very small form factor, on in something that's not just works, but also works on a very small footprint and without, again, killing your battery life. So we are now chipping, we're chipping our third generation of mmWave antenna solutions. With Snapdragon X65, we're introducing our fourth generation of mmWave solutions with support for all bands and what things we have discussed, while many others have not chipped their first yet. And again, you can have the modem, but you need the full modem to antenna solution. Let me give you an example. This is like I will announce, let's say I will announce a phone SoC. I will use announce a smartphone SoC with a CPU, but I tell you nothing about the GPU. That will not pass test, right? Mm-hmm. I can announce a modem, right, with support for mmWave, and that's not that hard to do. But have the full solution from the modem to antenna that can support mmWave, that's a very different story. So again, we welcome competition. That's good, and that's part of the ecosystem. But we feel very, very comfortable about shipping our third generation and now introducing our fourth generation of mmWave solutions from the modem to the antenna, while others are just getting started with the journey, particularly at this time that, you, as you said, mmWave is not just a US. Now it's live. mmWave networks are live in Japan, Singapore, Italy, and soon we expect to see this in other regions such as South Korea, Australia, and we're expecting for the Winter Olympics in 2022 to see mmWave in China, which of course changes everything in terms of scale. So we feel very, very good about our position on mmWave.
Now it's my turn to tell you that was an excellent answer, especially the part about not judging based on press releases. I know exactly what you mean. Can you tell us a little bit more about Release 16? I know there's some really crazy stuff in there for, you know, crazy in the good way, for about, you know, smart vehicles. And then there's side linking where modems can speak to each other without a, you know, connecting to a tower, and, you know, massive MIMO and beam forming and all kind of things are new. Can you tell us how, you know, how this was engineered into the modem, or what these changes are going to mean, not only for users, but maybe for industrial applications?
Absolutely. So, you think about 5G overall, not just Release 15, Release 16, but overall as a vision. It's the first generation of cellular technology that was designed, right? Not just kind of used, but designed, right? From when the first engineers started just discussing what should be the capabilities and requirements for 5G to serve not just phones, but also many other kind of other applications, going to cars and industrial settings, enterprises, PCs, XR, and of course, those things that we have not imagined yet that can use wireless connectivity. So you can think about Release 15, which is, again, because this, all these, again, specifications for 3G, 4G, 5G are managed by this industry organization called 3GPP. So Release 15, it was, in fact, the first release from this organization that went out with 5G specifications. Those first set, it's mostly focused on mobile broadband applications. Again, the ones that we use most from our phones, but our PCs, and that's already working out well. But Release 16, this second pass on 5G specification, brings many of the elements that we will take 5G into many of these other areas. One key thing is just looking at the industrial applications in which maybe you don't need a lot of gigabits per second, right, to manage machine on a manufacturing facility. but you need that network to be very, very reliable.
Right.
So things like ultra-reliable low-latency communications, which is a way to configure the network a very, very small latency down to about 1 millisecond, right, which is one order of magnitude less than what we see today overall on cellular networks, or the ability to use and transmit from multiple points, right? The same information to a robot or to a device that in industrial settings increase the reliability, right?
Right.
So the communication does not fail, or it's very, very unlikely that the communication will fail. That's something that's not relevant for a consumer use case, things like latency or these levels of reliability, but very important to deploy on a manufacturing facility. All those things come, or many of those things come, with Release 16 specifications of 5G. And what the Snapdragon X65 offers is, again, the first this modem to antenna solution that has support for some of the capabilities of Release 16, but also was built with upgradability in mind. So the architecture is upgradable. So with future software releases, you can support new features of Release 16, right, that come into play. And not just minor tweaks of what we offer today, but major new capabilities. This is very important, again, in this enterprise industrial settings, because I will have my device there, maybe on my robot, right, in the manufacturing facility, moving things around the warehouse, not just 1, 2, 3 years like we have our phones. I expect that to be out there for maybe 5 years more. So I need a long-term, long shelf life solution. So when you have upgradable capabilities, I can have more flexibility to upgrade the capabilities of my devices as I see new technology coming in, and avoid this device to be outdated 2 years after I purchased that. I also can enable, again, better fixes as well overall, and the ability at the end to, when I have longer shelf life in my devices, I save cost because I have to replace less, I have to offer less maintenance, and at the end, I can make the most of the asset I have deployed overall. Those things are going to come with Release 16 specification 5G, and the Snapdragon X65 was made, again, as you said, not just for phones, but many other things, and therefore, with this flurry of capabilities coming, it was designed to be able to adopt many of these new capabilities and at the end offer a better value. The way I'll portray this is, I was watching over the weekend the Imagineering story, right? It's on kind of the story of the group that deployed and creates all these Disney parks overall. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Walt Disney said is that about Disneyland, it was Disneyland is never going to be complete. It's always getting different, better. That's the same way we can think about 5G, right? 5G, at least for the foreseeable future, will never be complete. We will have new capabilities, new features, new improvements, and having an architecture that can adopt those improvements definitely support the deployment of 5G in these scenarios that are not driven by the phone, but are driven by fixed wireless access, where my CPE also needs to stay in place for a longer time on a manufacturing facility or an enterprise. And therefore, why Snapdragon X65 was designed not just, again, for phones, but be able to satisfy the needs of all these many other segments where 5G is designed to go.
And Disneyland would be a perfect spot for a Qualcomm-powered millimeter wave 5G private network.
As well, you need a lot of capacity, not just private. You need a lot of capacity. Right? Being on this part, you have to be able to send a photo or send a video,
right,
to find your kids around. And, but also, when you need to manage all this machinery, right, in a very reliable manner, yeah, definitely, I think that's a great case in which we should see all the value of 5G at play.
Well, thanks. Maybe we'll join you in Disneyland when you make that big announcement.
I'm looking forward to the day, and my kids are asking for that. Very, very. It's a lot of our table and kind of dinner conversations, what we do post-pandemic, and that's on top of the list. So, yes, welcome to another dinner.
I guess the one in California is not open yet, right?
No.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Ignacio, thank you so much. This has been incredible. it's a lot of information. It's a lot of digesting of, you know, what comes next. I guess the next question will be when products get announced with the X65 in it. The press release says late 2021, which feels like a long time from now, but we'll be around the corner. So looking forward to that. Thank you so much. It's been great having you here, and we'll have you on the show again next when there's another big Qualcomm announcement.
Anytime I can help you, and it has been very fun to me. So just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.